Would you take your seats and turn to song number 177? We're going to sing When Love Shines In. 177. When Love Shines In. 177.
Jesus comes with power to gladden when love shines in. Every life that woe can sadden when love shines in. Love will teach us how to pray. Love will drive the gloom away. Turn our darkness in today when love. Trials may be sanctified, and the soul in peace abide. Life will all be glorified when love shines in. When love shines in. When love shines in. How the heart is tuned to singing when love shines in. When love brighter when love shines in, and the heaviest burdens lighter when love shines in. 'Tis the glory that will throw light to show us where to go. Oh, the heart shall blessing know when love shines in. When love shines in.
Pray. Father, we thank you today again. Thank you for letting us all come together to sing praise your name, to hear the preaching, teaching your word. Lord, I pray you bless the service that goes on today. Bless the people that have not been able to make it, that have been struggling with this whole power outage thing and the messed up plumbing, Lord. That help us to all get it fixed, Lord. And our members of the church that are struggling right now, please bless them, be with them, keep them safe, Lord, and just strengthen their spirits. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Next song we're singing is song number 160. 160, crown him with many crowns. Again, it's 160.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sign, but downward bends his wandering eye at mysteries so bright. Crowned in the Lord of light, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we see, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crowned in the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him give, from yonder glorious throne to thee be endless praise, for thou for us hast died. Be thou, O Lord, through endless days adored and magnified.
Good morning. Thank you so much for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you didn't get a bulletin, you can slip up your hand real quick and an usher can come by and get you one. On the front, we have our Bible memory passage, Exodus chapter number 20. We're on week number 4 of 26, and this one's a little bit longer, so you might want to start working on it right now. It's going to be a hard one to cram for on Wednesday night, you kiddos, all right? On the inside, we have our service and soul winning times. And there was a little bit of change this week due to all of the chaos with all the cold and everything. But everything should be back to normal 100%. So there's nothing as far as services and soul winning that there's anything to report. Everything should be back to regular schedule. One note, though, for our services, our bathrooms aren't working just because there's no water. There's no water in the building. Apparently, a pipe burst somewhere in the property, and the landlord had to turn off the water for the entire building. But and because of it being difficult to get a plumber out in time, he couldn't get it until Monday. They're supposed to come Saturday, but they are coming Monday, so it should be fixed and everything by Wednesday services moving forward. Apologize for the inconvenience, but if you feel like you're not going to be able to make it through the whole service, you might just go down the street quickly and use the bathroom. But other than that, we're still having our regular scheduled services, Spanish service, and our evening service, and so looking forward to that. Also, we have our church stats and our list of expecting ladies. Please be in prayer for all of them. We still have our prayer list as well if you have any extra prayers that you are in need of anything. And then we have a couple of upcoming events to make note of. And we had today, Pastor Mejia is going to be preaching in Houston, and a lot of people travel down there. And so you can just be praying for their safety. I know they're going to have a lot of fun down there. And also March 6th, there's a Galveston Marathon. So if you haven't made it down to Houston, but you want to, Galveston's coming up March 6th. There'll be a marathon all day there. And I'll be preaching that Sunday down there. Also, April 3rd, we'll have a Mega Marathon. April 4th, which is Easter, that evening service, we're going to have observe the Lord's Supper immediately after the service. And then May 8th, in honor of Mother's Day, we're going to have a ladies' tea. All mothers and daughters are welcome to attend. And even if you're not a mother, you are a daughter. And so you can still celebrate in honor of mothers. And you can invite your mother or invite other ladies to participate. But we'll have a special ladies' tea event. Also, May 20th through the 22nd, we're going to have a men's retreat. This is going to be very similar to last year's. If you were able to go last year, it's going to be very similar. If you haven't, I'd really recommend. It's a great time of fellowship and some really good preaching. And really, everybody that went seemed that they really enjoyed themselves. And so I would really encourage you to try and make that. And that's pretty much all that I have for announcements at this time. Let's go ahead and go to our third song, song 138, The Haven of Rest, song 138.
My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul near the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I've yielded myself to his tender embrace, and faith taking hold of the word. Fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. Jesus, I'm safe evermore. The song of my soul, since the Lord made me whole, has been the old story so blessed. Of Jesus, who'll save whosoever will have a home in the haven of rest. I've my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior, he patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest, and say, my beloved is mine. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sleep for the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore.
As the offering plates are being passed around, please turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1.
In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, the Bible reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we just thank you that we could be in your house this Sunday morning to hear the preaching of your word. Just please bless Pastor Shelley and fill him with your Holy Spirit now, that we could all be edified this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Let's look back at verse number 7 again, where the Bible reads, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And the title of the sermon this morning is this: Overcome the Spirit of Fear. Overcome the Spirit of Fear. And when we talk about the word fear, I wanted to give a dictionary definition just so we have some kind of an idea. But fear, according to the dictionary, is an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. And so fear is basically looking at something in the future that's dangerous, or there's some kind of danger that you're afraid of, or some kind of harm or some kind of evil that you're kind of, you have this strong emotional feeling of being uncomfortable or not feeling well. That is the spirit of fear. And the Bible tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear. And so we want to overcome the spirit of fear. And right here in this verse, he gives us three ways to overcome that or to combat that. It says, notice, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So that's going to be our outline for this morning, but let's focus on this first one, power. How can you overcome the spirit of fear? You can overcome it with power, but specifically the power of God. And as we read, let's read a few more verses here. Look what it says in verse number 8. Be not thou, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So notice that he's instructing Timothy to endure and to go through the afflictions that are attached to the gospel. And notice it's according to the power of God. Verse 9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So we have him emphasizing something. He's emphasizing the fact that we've been saved, we've been called, and we have eternal life. We have immortality that's been brought to light through the gospel, and the power of the gospel helps us overcome certain fears. Let me show you a fear. Go, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 10, Matthew chapter number 10 in your Bible, and let me show you one of these fears that people may have. And really, while this is a fear according to the Bible, in some ways it is a good fear because it'll motivate you to make the right decision. But we don't have to have this fear. And look what it says in Matthew 10, verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, those who are afraid of hell, all you have to do is simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the power of the gospel, you no longer have to fear going to hell. You no longer have to fear death itself because you've been given eternal life. And you know at the end of the day, my home is heaven. And so at the end of the day, no matter what fear may come upon you about death itself, it really is a good conclusion. Because you say, okay, well, if I die, what ends up happening after that? Well, I go to heaven. Yeah, there's not, sometimes people say, you can't scare me with death. And really, from a Christian's perspective, that would be a right perspective, because as soon as you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And it's to go on to glory, and it's to be in a better state than you are now. There's really nothing negative about dying. It's actually glorious. And so that's why, you're supposed to be comforted with the fact that you'll be with the Lord, that we're all going to be with the Lord. And so the power of the gospel, the power of God, can help you overcome the fear of death itself and hell, because you're never going to go to hell, even though we will one day physically perish. And notice, because of this, because of the fear of God, having the right fear, fearing, the Lord and what he could do to you, sending you to hell, will cause you to get saved. And then notice there's some other fear in this passage, verse number 28, that you're not supposed to have. What is that? It says, and fear not them which kill the body. So by having the right fear, the fear of God, okay, then you don't have to fear man. You don't have to fear what man can do unto you, and you don't have to fear death itself. The Bible's telling us we shouldn't even fear him, okay? And so you need to get your fears off of dying, because you're going to heaven. Why should you be afraid of dying when you realize it's going to be better? In fact, most people, when they're older especially, and maybe their life's not going well, they're like, man, I just wish I'd go to heaven already. I wish the Lord would just take me to heaven. Because why? Because they realize it's actually better. They realize that heaven is not something to be afraid of, but rather to embrace and to be excited and look forward to. So therefore, when you have the right perspective, you know what? It's going to stop you from being so worried about physically dying. Go, if you would, to John chapter number 1. Let me prove this even further, that this is the power that helps us overcome. Look, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit, of power, okay? And what's that spirit of power? Well, that power comes from God, and it comes specifically from the gospel. Look at John 1:12, a verse you're really familiar with. But as many as received him, to them gave he, notice this word, power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So what did God offer to us? He offered us the power to become a child of God. And you know what? God's not trying to give you the fear of death. He's trying to give you the power to overcome that death. Okay, and obviously there is a right fear, and that's the fearing the Lord, but the wrong fear would be to fear man killing you or to fear what's going to happen after death. He wants you to rather have the power of the gospel come upon you to become a child of God and no longer fear death itself. Go to Acts chapter number 1. The Apostle Paul makes a really declarative statement. He says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I think Jesus Christ our Lord, right? So he's not afraid of death anymore. He rather actually would die. And it says in Acts chapter 1, look at verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, notice they have power come upon them. What is that power helping them do? To be a witness of Jesus Christ. To go out and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are going to be times and certain areas of this world where preaching the gospel could cost you your very physical life. And we live in America today, and so we've been abstracted from very much persecution or reality. And so we don't oftentimes realize this is a true point. But there's a lot of places in the world today where preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ will literally put your life at risk. There is Muslim countries, there, China, there's all kinds of places around this world where you just telling somebody, hey, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, would get you killed, would get you murdered, would lose your physical life. But here's the thing. Am I supposed to have a fear of losing my physical life and make it to where I would not preach the gospel? No. I'm not supposed to fear man. I'm not supposed to have that type of, you know, paralyzing terror and paralyzing affrightment. But rather, I'm supposed to have the power of God and realize, you know what? Even if they kill me, I'm going to heaven. Hey, no matter what they do to me, I'm still have eternal life. I still have the power of God. And God doesn't want us to go around terrified of every moment. He doesn't want us to constantly be so afraid of going out and preaching the gospel and helping people get saved. No, he wants us to preach the gospel. Now, obviously, the apostles, and as you read the book of Acts, you have to understand that they realized there was many places or times when them preaching the gospel could be a real threat to their life, a real threat to their safety. And so they would use discretion. And obviously, I'm not saying you should try to pick a fight with someone and you should try to find the most dangerous place on the planet and preach the gospel there and try to get killed. But at the same time, you know, if you're put in a position to preach the gospel, sometimes you just need to open your mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel and say, you know what, I'm going to let the consequences sort themselves out because I'm not supposed to fear man, I'm only supposed to fear God. And you say, how could you not be afraid of death? Because I have the power of God. Because God gave me great power through the gospel to not be afraid of death because I know after death I'm going to heaven anyways. And so you can overcome that spirit of fear when tempted to not preach the gospel by realizing the power of God is the gospel, that you are saved, that you do have eternal life, that, hey, after physical death, it's only going to be better anyways. You know, don't threaten me with a good time. You know, hey, I'm just going to go to heaven as a martyr. Praise the Lord. Okay, go if you would to Romans chapter number one. But we see that the power is in reference to being a witness, preaching the gospel, and they needed that power. You know, we're weak. If you ask me in the flesh, can I overcome in the flesh the fear of death, you know, the fear of physical torment or whatever, or pain? The answer is no. I can't do it. I'm not stronger than anybody else. And you know what? There's plenty of guys, they act all tough, and they act like they, you know, I'll take a bullet, whatever. But then when push comes to shove and they're actually facing death, they start, you know, getting really cowardly. They start realizing, oh, wait, I'm not that tough, okay? Because it takes a lot to overcome the fear of death, but you know what can overcome that is the power of the gospel, the power that comes from God. And we see the apostles, you know, they were constantly threatened with death, constantly threatened of their physical safety being in jeopardy, yet they just kept preaching the gospel. They just kept going. I mean, how many times would you have to get stoned, you know, like the Apostle Paul was, to start realizing, like, I could possibly lose my life, you know? He walks into one town, and they stone him. And then he goes to the next town, and they stone him. He goes to the next town, they beat him with rods. You know, he shows up at the fourth town. He's like, I don't know if I want to preach, you know? It seems like this message is really unreceptive, you know? But at the same time, he's getting people saved, and he's not doing it because he wants to get injured. You know, the Apostle Paul's not going around. He's not, you know, hoping that he gets hurt. He's not hoping that he dies. He's not hoping that some damage will happen to him. What he's saying is, you know, I know there's that fear there. There's that natural tendency, and it's causing me to maybe not want to preach, not want to feel the afflictions of the gospel, but you know what? The power of God's going to help me overcome it. And so it's normal, it's natural to say, you know what? I can feel that experience of that, you know, feeling a little uncomfortable about the future, thinking about, you know, I don't really want to preach the gospel and get in trouble or someone hurt me or someone threatened me with death or even dying for the gospel, you know, having a natural tendency of not wanting to die, but saying, you know what, I'm still going to overcome that fear by the power of the gospel. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. So notice the gospel is the power. And you say, well, how is that the power? Well, just think about the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the death, burial, but most specifically, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, what does that help you realize? You know what? I'm going to come on the other side of death and I'm going to be victorious through the resurrection. Okay, so that is going to then end up motivating you to not have what? The fear of death. to not be so afraid of what's going to happen whenever you lose your physical life. Because let me just warn every person in this room, you will die. You're going to die, okay? Maybe if you survive to the rapture, I don't know if that's happening in your lifetime. Outside of that caveat, you will die. And maybe that's just a type of death, but it just didn't hurt. You know, it's like, great. You know, just like, woo, immediately translated up in heaven, right? But at the end of the day, you will die somehow, somewhere, for some reason. And you know what? Because we have the gospel, because we have hope, because we know that we'll be resurrected one day, because we know that we have eternal life, it gives us the power to not live the rest of our remaining days in fear. Because what you could do is you could just be afraid from right now until the day that you die. You could. You could just say, you know what, I'm just so terrified of dying. I'm just so terrified of losing my life. I'm just so terrified of what's going to happen next. And you know what, for some people that aren't saved, you know what, they're terrified of hell every single day. They're so afraid and they're so nervous about hell. But you know what? Because we have the gospel, because we have eternal life, because we're saved, we don't have to be afraid of that. Look, there's plenty of Christians today, and I'm using that word lightly, okay? I'm using just the world's definition of Christian. They're going to church, and they think that they can lose their salvation. They think that they're trying to earn their way to heaven, and they're afraid that they're not going to do enough good works to escape hell. They literally have a fear of hell every single day of their life. And you know what? They don't need to have that fear because you can have the power of the gospel. You know what? That's a wrong fear to just be constantly tormented with these things. Now, obviously, you know, being afraid that God will punish you is a righteous fear. We should fear God and we should fear that he would destroy us in hell. But we can overcome that through the power of the gospel. And we can get to a place where we no longer have to have that fear ever again. Go if you go to Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. And I want to show you several verses this morning. Hebrews chapter number 13. And this point's real simple. You know, it's not something extravagant. It's not something that's really, something that's just like really revelatory. Oh, wow. You know, but it's something that we need to constantly be reminded of. Hey, you're going to die, but guess what? You're going to heaven. Therefore, you shouldn't fear. And when the spirit of fear comes upon you about death, or it comes upon you about, you know, what someone may do to you, you should just be reminded, I'm going to heaven. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and look at verse number 6. Let's back up a verse because it'll be a little help. Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Is that your testimony today? Do you go every single day and think, you know what? Who cares what man may do to me? Because the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And you know what? I have the gospel. I have the power of the gospel. I have eternal life. You know what? And God's on my side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? You know what? I'm just not going to be afraid of what man can do to me. There's no fear. That's a great testimony. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's an easy thing to read. It's a hard thing to believe sometimes. Why? Because your flesh is terrified about what man can do to you. But you can overcome that spirit of fear through what? The power of the gospel. Go if you would to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Let's see an example of this. Revelation chapter 2 and look at verse number 10. Now this is unto the church in Smyrna. The Bible reads in verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So we see a group of Christians. These people are saved. And God is telling them specifically in this epistle, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is giving this epistle through his servant, his angel, unto John, and John's writing unto these churches, and it's by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and he's writing unto them, and he's saying, look, guys, you're going to have a rough future. I mean, what could be worse? I mean, maybe if it was less than 10 days, right? I don't know, maybe 10 days is worse because you have a lot of time to kind of think about it. But if I just say, hey, 10 days, you're going to go to prison, you're going to suffer, and then you're going to die. Isn't that about the worst news you could probably get? Outside of, like, maybe someone else getting hurt, you know, like a family member. I'm just saying for you personally. Like, you're going to jail, you're going to suffer, and then you're going to die. You're just like, and it's not even like, you know, just someone telling you this. It's not like you read this on a message board. This is Jesus telling you, okay? This is, it's not like, you're like, well, maybe there's, oh, wait, that was Jesus that said that to me, okay? But how did he start? He said, fear, none of those things. Now, that's a tall order, because that's literally, if you were going to say, hey, Pastor Shelley, what's the worst thing? What would be the biggest fear you could possibly have? Probably that. You know, maybe if it was like a Russian prison, you know, I don't know. Or if it was a Chinese prison, maybe it might be a little bit worse. But I'm just saying, this is about the worst that you could possibly imagine ever happening to you. And notice what Jesus said. Don't fear it, though. Still don't fear it. You know what? Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. You know what? Jesus Christ had to go through one of the most agonizing, horrible deaths ever known. And you know what? He had to endure it. He had to not fear it. He had to just go ahead and go through with it and say, you know, not my will be done, but thine be done. And you say, how could he do that? Through the power of God. God did not give us the spirit of fear. You know what? That's from the devil. The devil loves to go around and terrify everybody of death today. But you know what? God wants to give us life. He wants to give us, you know, a spirit of power today to where we can overcome and we're not afraid of the physical death. No matter what man can do to us, no matter what will happen, even if it's been confirmed 100% to not be afraid. Look, people are so afraid of this, and they haven't even had Jesus tell them specifically it's going to happen to them. Okay, some people, they're so afraid of this, it hasn't even happened. It may never happen, yet the people that are told it's definitely going to happen, they're supposed to not be afraid. So you know that tells me I shouldn't be afraid then. Because I haven't been promised that. I haven't been told, like, Pastor Shelley, in 10 days, you're going to jail and dying. You know, I wasn't told that. And so, you know, why should I be afraid of it? Because even if I was, even if it definitely was going to happen, I should still not have the spirit of fear, but rather I have to overcome it with the power of God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Go back to 2 Timothy and look at chapter number 2. So how do I overcome the spirit of fear? By the power of God, by the power of the gospel, by what he's promised me. And you know what? That's some intense power, because obviously my flesh would freak out. But you know what? You can still overcome it by the Spirit. That's why you have to walk in the Spirit, so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Now, the word even in your Bible is pretty much always specifically is what that means. So whenever it says, I usually think of the word even in a different sense, like how we use it kind of in our modern vernacular. I would say it's kind of worded a little bit differently. But in the Bible, even just means specifically, okay? So he's saying he's suffering trouble as someone that's bad. He's an evildoer in their eyes, okay? And then it's saying even, meaning specifically he's in bonds. So he's saying specifically the punishment that I'm going through is I'm in prison. I'm in jail for what? Preaching the gospel. Notice, he said, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble. Why is he suffering trouble? Because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why he's thrown into prison. And he's saying something else, though, but the word of God is not bound. So saying, even though I'm bound, hey, the gospel is still available. Hey, you guys can still go out and preach the gospel. It's not tied to me. It's not just wrapped up in Paul. It's not like Paul's the only one that has that power. You know, because we were reading 1 and 2 Timothy here, and we're talking a lot about those two guys. And obviously in these passages, it's maybe a pastor that we're talking to. But guess what? The gospel is not limited to Paul. It's not limited to Paul and Timothy. It's not limited to pastors. It's not limited to people that work for a church. You know, it's not limited to anything but the saved. And it's the saved's responsibility to go out and preach the gospel, to be a powerful witness, to go out and, you know what, not be afraid of the sufferings and afflictions of the gospel. You say, why? Why would the Apostle Paul do this? Well, point number one was, how do I overcome the spirit of fear? By power. But here's the second way that you can overcome the spirit of fear is by love. By love. Why is Paul doing this? Well, look at what he says in verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So why is it that the Apostle Paul can overcome the spirit of fear? Well, number one, he has the power of God. He has the power of the gospel. He's saved. He has eternal life. Okay, he has that power that's been given to him. But here's the second thing. He's motivated by love. The love of God. Okay, and what's that love? That people who are not saved would become saved. That people would hear the gospel and get saved. He says, I endure all things for love's sake. What could cause someone to endure such pain, suffering, and woe? It's love. Think about it. Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? For love. Why did God the Father sacrifice his son? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What's one of the most powerful things to overcome fear? It's love today. You know, there's a lot of things that we would never do, but if it's an interest to save a child or to save our family member, we would do it, right? You know, you wouldn't just run out into traffic just for fun. You'd be afraid to run out in traffic. But if your child was out in traffic, you wouldn't even think about it. You could overcome that spirit of fear very quickly, and you could just rush out. You know, if there was a mighty rushing river, you wouldn't want to jump in there. It's dangerous. But if your child were in there, you would jump into that mighty rushing river. You would forget about the fear aspect. You would be overcome with what? With love. Okay, you know, if someone was pointing a gun at you, you know, there'd be a lot of fear. But if they're pointing a gun at your child, you would step right in front of that because you're going to overcome that spirit of fear because of love today. Okay, and so that's a powerful motivating factor to overcome the spirit of fear today is love. Go, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 8 for a moment. Go to Matthew chapter number 8. And we understand that. Why is the Apostle Paul doing the things that he's doing? It's because he's filled with the love of God. That also tells me this. Those who don't care to preach the gospel aren't filled with the love of God. You know, it's funny that people want to constantly tell our church how hateful we are, how we're just filled with so much anger and wrath and hatred, yet at the same time, these people never preach the gospel. These people never even open their mouth to let anybody know how to go to heaven. And then they want to lecture me on what the love of God really looks like today. They want to tell me about how much more loving they are when they won't tell anybody about how to get saved. And you know what? The people that I think are the most loving are the people that are going out soul winning the most. Hey, you want to tell me how loving you are? Great. How about you show me how loving you are? How about you show me how you really care? You know, there's these sick people that will tell you how they're praying for all these wicked, evil people. How they're just so much more loving. You know, you say that you want all the sodomites to go to hell. You know, you guys are so, you know, filled with hatred towards the sodomites. And it's like, first of all, I don't want anyone to go to hell. But I realize they are. And so I just think they might as well go now. Why wait? Right? That's my philosophy, okay? But at the end of the day, I don't want anyone to go to hell. I'm not desirous of people suffering the worst punishment ever, you know, possibly imagined, okay? I don't want that for anybody. But it's funny how they'll tell me, oh, well, I'm praying for them to get saved. You know, I'm praying for Elton John to get saved. And I'm praying for Ellen DeGeneres to get saved. And I'm praying for Joe Biden. I hope he gets saved. And I'm praying for, you know, all these different people, all these different pedophiles. I hope Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. He's still alive and he'll get saved, you know. And I hope, you know, that everybody gets saved. I hope Kenneth Copeland gets saved. I hope the Pope gets saved. And I'm just going to pray for them. I hope Bill Gates gets saved. You know, and then they use that to try and virtue signal about how they're more loving than you. They say, oh, I'm so loving. You guys are so hateful. I pray for Bill Gates to get saved. Well, first of all, that's a stupid prayer, okay, number one. But number two, isn't it interesting that you're spending all your time praying for Bill Gates to get saved, but you won't just walk outside,
Knock on your neighbor's door and preach him the gospel. You're supposed to expect me to believe you're so loving that you won't even open your mouth and preach your neighbor the gospel, who's a trillion times more likely to get saved than Bill Gates, okay? But I'm praying that Bill Gates would get saved. Oh, you're not loving. It's fake. It's not real. That's not a real love, okay? And at the end of the day, I'm supposed to overcome whatever fears I have with the true love of God, with the true love of Jesus Christ. And you know what that is? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now go, if you would, to Matthew chapter 8, look at verse 25. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now what happens in the story? They're traveling by boat, and the disciples are freaking out because it's storming. But Jesus Christ, he doesn't care. He's just taking a nap. He's just like, whatever. You know, and there's going to be times when your life is literally in a storm. I don't know, like an ice storm or whatever. And people are freaking out. And you say, well, what would Jesus do? Go to sleep. Sleep like a baby. And you say, how can he do that? Well, you know what? He's not really afraid of the perils of this life. He's not afraid of what God's going to do to him, because you know what? He's like, I'm in the will of God. I'm going out and preaching the gospel. I'm doing good. So if God wants to take me home now, then so be it. You know what? When you're in the love of God and you're doing God's will and you're doing what God has for you, why are you so afraid that God will take you out by time and chance? You know, the disciples are just freaking out. Look, you're on the most important mission, and the person that's in the most control is God here, okay? Why is he just going to let? I mean, imagine we're reading the Bible. We're in Matthew chapter number 8. And all the disciples and Jesus drown in the sea. Well, that was a weird ending. You really think that's how it's going to end? And notice what Jesus said. He said, of little faith. Look, they're in the middle of like tumultuous waters, and it's a raging storm. I mean, this is literally very dangerous. And notice Jesus Christ is saying they're of little faith. He's saying, you guys are freaking out about this? Like, this isn't even that big a deal. Just a little bit of faith and you wouldn't even have to worry about this. You could have tackled this type of an issue. And the reality is, people, they're so afraid of the storms of life today. But let me tell you what, when you have the love of God in your heart, you're not afraid of the storms of life. You know, there's some people, they would say, well, I'm not even getting on the boat because what if it storms? What if some evil's going to happen to me, you know? Rather than just saying, hey, we're supposed to go preach the gospel, let's go. I don't care if it's storming or whatever. And they're not trying to be risky on purpose. They're not trying to do something foolish on purpose. But what they are saying is, hey, if a storm of life just comes upon me, I'm just going to say, you know what? I'm in God's hand here. And God is going to protect me. Go to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. You know what? Storms are going to happen. Evil's going to happen. Things are going to happen. And you know what? It wasn't because of global warming back then, okay? And it's not now, all right? And you say, well, what about that global warming? Well, I was really hoping for it last week. You know, it's taking a while to get here. Well, it's not global warming. It's climate change, Pastor Shelley. Yeah, the climate changes every day. It changes every moment. Tell me something new. You really come up with that on your own? Hey, you know what? The climate's changing. Oh, really? That's incredible. Wow, what new discoveries are you going to come up with next? Oh, a man's not a woman. That's not a cool discovery. It's false. You know, quit worrying about what the world's trying to think of and the world's trying to come up with, because they change every 5 minutes. You know, every 10 years, the world's going to be destroyed, according to them. But literally, Christians will freak out. Oh, I think they're going to do it. You know, and they'll also say, like, they've created these machines. They can control the weather. Look, they can't control anything. They can't even control themselves, let alone the weather. Don't tell me that they're going to, look, you know who also says they control the weather? Kenneth Copeland. He says that he can just, like, blow tornadoes away and stuff. He's, like, flying in his airplane. He's blowing. You know, he blew coronavirus away. I feel like what he really did is just blew it on all of his congregants or something, you know. Quit worrying about what man's doing. Look, you know who's in control of the weather? God. Sorry to burst your little bubble. God's in control of the weather. And you know what? God can make it scorching heat. He could make it ice cold. And you know what? In the end times, the Bible says it will be scorching heat at certain points because the sun's just going to come blaring down on people. And you know what? It's not global warming. It's not because you sprayed hairspray on your hair. It's not because a cow let one rip, okay, out in the field, all right? It's because God is in control of the weather today. And you know what? People are so terrified of the weather. Look, God's in control of the weather. Why are you so afraid of God being in control of the weather today? You know how much Jesus was terrified by that? None. And you say, well, how can I overcome that? Well, notice I'm talking about the love of God. Well, think about how much God loves you. And you're so afraid. Look, realizing God's love and then demonstrating God's love is going to preserve you from a lot of fear. If God loves you so much, I mean, think about how much you love your children. God loves you more than you love your children. Why would you just let your kids just, you know, die by time and chance on these type of things? He's not going to do that. And you know what? When you're preaching the gospel and serving the Lord, you know what? He's not going to just let some random weird thing happen to you, okay? 1 John chapter number 4, look at verse number 18. The Bible says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, show me in the Bible, okay, because there's a lot of stories. Show me the godly Christian, the person serving God, the guy doing God's will, that just randomly dies for no reason. When does it happen? When was it like, and Elijah, oh, he drowned himself. And David, he accidentally, you know, died in a car accident. And these guys accidentally choked and died. Like, when does that happen in the Bible? It never did. Okay? So you know what you need to be really afraid of? Is just being right with God. Now, they did die because they were persecuted. They died from affliction. They died from people trying to kill them that were evil and wicked. But you know what? They didn't die from just random stupid things. And you know what? When we have the love of God deep into our heart, notice that there's no torment. Fear hath torment. You know, living your life feeling loved is not bad. Living your life with fear is so much torment. You know, a child that's really loved and feels like their parents are going to take care of all their wants and wishes, he's not sad. He's not tormented. You know, but a kid that's in a rocky household, you know, or they don't know where the next meal is coming from. They feel like their parents don't love them. Their parents beat them or do evil to them or whatever. They live a life of torment. But you know what? God is not an abusive father. God is not an evil father. God is not someone that's going around trying to hurt and harm you. God is love. And you know what? When you have that love of God deep into your heart, you say, you know what? I'm not terrified about what God's going to do to me when I'm right with him. Why would I be afraid? I just want to embrace the Lord because he loves me. He's going to take care of me. He's going to provide for me. Just like that little baby. What if the little baby could actually think? You know, what if your little six-month-old could think? Okay, and I don't know how much they can or cannot. But what if they had an adult consciousness, right? And they're sitting here thinking like, what am I going to do? Because if my mom doesn't come and feed me in a few hours, I'm going to starve. I can't reach that. I can't grab anything. I can't even pull myself up. I'm just laying here. I'm stuck. You know, it's like a turtle. He's just like, I can't do anything. You know, oh no, I just soiled my diaper. Well, see, if they don't clean that up, it's staying there. You know, I mean, just think about how helpless the baby is, right? But you know what it's doing? It's just trusting in his parents to take care of it. And that's what we should have. We should have the same type of humility and just saying, you know what? God's just going to take care of us. And he's like, well, what if, you know, this bad thing happens? Well, I won't be able to take care of it. It's like, what if a hurricane comes and, you know, where you're at? Well, it's not like I can do anything about it. It's not like I'm just, I'm going to stop the hurricane, you know, or a tornado or whatever. Look, the powers that are out there are so much more than me. I can't do anything. All I can do is just trust that I'm in God's love. And when I'm filled with the love of God, and you know what? I'm demonstrating the love of God. It can overcome that spirit. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. What you should really be terrified of today is this, that you're not right with God, that you don't fear God, that you're not following his commandments. That's what you should be terrified of. Because when you don't follow God's commandments, when you don't love God, when you're not right with God, you know what? Then horrible things can happen to you. But look what the Bible says in verse, let's read a few verses here because I like this passage. Let's back up. Let's just keep going. Let's say this, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttered her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. So notice, these people, they love simplicity. They don't love God. They don't love God's commandments. He says in verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So notice, those who hate God and don't choose the fear of the Lord, guess what? Not only are their fears going to come upon them, God's going to even be laughing at them when they do. And why? They don't like the fear of the Lord. They don't like knowledge. Verse 30, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Wow. That's a pretty cool verse. I like verse 33. Notice, if you hearken unto God, what? You're going to dwell safely and you're going to be quiet from fear of evil. Now, you think Jesus thought about those thoughts maybe right before he went to sleep? That's a good verse to think about. Was Jesus Christ hearkening unto the Father? Yeah. He's like, you know what? I'm going to dwell safely. Hey, you know what? I'm going to be quiet from fear of evil. Now, go if you would to Proverbs 3 and look at verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. He's talking about the next part. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So sound wisdom and discretion, don't let this depart from you. Verse 22. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Hey, you know what? I have trouble sleeping because I'm so afraid. Well, you can solve that. Why don't you just go ahead and get God's wisdom and discretion? Get the love of God, okay? And you know what? You can overcome that. You can sleep sweet. You can sleep like a baby. I don't know if that's the right term. People say that, but it's like some babies don't sleep very well, all right? Look at verse 25. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. You know what? God could destroy and wipe out all of America, and you know what? God's people could just go straight through it. You say, what does that look like, Jeremiah? You know, in Babylon came and they besieged Jerusalem. They wiped out Jerusalem. I mean, they utterly destroyed Jerusalem. But you know who made it unscathed? Jeremiah. Now, obviously, he went through a lot of persecution and affliction before that. But you know what? He was unscathed from the sudden destruction. He was unscathed from the desolation of the wicked. You know what? God is can destroy all of the wicked, and you can be fine. And notice what he says. Don't be afraid when it comes. You know what? I want it to come. You know, people are like, oh, I don't want God to judge America. Why? Well, because I don't want to get judged. This is really what they're saying, okay? But here's the thing. If you're right with God, he can destroy all the wicked around you and you can go unscathed. You could end up coming out like a shining light. You can be protected by God even though all the wicked are being utterly destroyed. And let me tell you something. You know what? Obviously, Joe Biden is, you know, he's not even there cognitively. But through his policies and being the puppet that he is, he's trying to actively destroy our economy and destroy America and ruin a lot of things for people. But you know who's going to be the most affected by that? The lazy. the simple, the stupid, the foolish. You know why? Because they spend so much money on things like, I don't know, drugs and alcohol and cigarettes, and they spend their money on the lottery, and they just waste money, and they're foolish, and they're simple-minded, and they're ignorant, and they're not investing in family and in church and the things of God today, and they're not hardworking, and they're always complaining. And you know what? They are going to suffer the consequences of that. They're going to eat the fruit of their own way. But you know what? God's people can still thrive in a horrible American economy because God can protect them. God can preserve them. God can still give them good wages. You know what? They may lay off all the lazy, wicked people. You know, all these people that are coming in from Mexico, supposedly, or if they do, I don't know. All the people fleeing, and they're like, they're so afraid because they're going to take away our jobs. They're not going to take away my job. You know how much I'm afraid that they would take away my job right now? Zero. Okay, well, that's because you're a pastor. Okay, how about when I was a senior developer? You know how much fear I had of them coming and taking my job? Zero. You know who's afraid of their job being taken? The fag that's the clerk at McDonald's. Why? Because anybody can do that job. Anybody can do. Look, when you have skilled position, when you're a skilled laborer, you're not afraid of the unskilled laborers flooding in, because that's not going to hurt you. That's not going to cause any kind of pain to you. And you say, well, why are you saying that? Well, because God is constantly telling you to get knowledge and wisdom and to work hard. And let me tell you what, if you work really hard and you're diligent and you're gaining knowledge and you're gaining skill and you're a righteous person, you're going to find a job. There's going to be a place for you to get work and to make sure you're paying your bills. And you say, even if you don't have that, God will provide for you, because he's never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know it's going to hurt the lazy. You know it's going to hurt the unrighteous. You know it's going to hurt the guy that's wasting all of his money on stupid, foolish things today. But why would I be so afraid? Hey, I have the love of God on me, and if I'm walking according to his word, I don't have to fear these things. And whenever destruction comes on the wicked, they're going to be the ones that suffer, not me. Go to Luke chapter 21. Go to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. You say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, start loving God. And you know what? You loving God and realizing the love that he has towards you is going to help you overcome the spirit of fear today. Oh, I'm so afraid of the economy being destroyed. Why? Let's just think about it. If everybody in our country, their personal finances were destroyed, except for all the people that are saved, all the righteous, right? Would that really be a bad thing? Well, first of all, you didn't get destroyed, number one. And number two, if everybody just lost all their money, do you think you're going to be more or less receptive to the gospel? Probably more. It's like a win-win. It's like nothing bad happened to us. And you know what? They're destroying themselves. Now they're more ready for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Hey, you know what we should take away from the fool? Prosperity. We should stop letting them get away with their ignorance and their foolishness and their nonsense. And you know what? And they start looking at the Christian and say, well, why are these people succeeding? Oh, it's because they work hard and they're living a clean life and they're righteous. Maybe it'll say, I want to live like that guy. I want to be like him. Now, obviously, the super wicked, they'll just try to steal it from you because they're envious. But at the end of the day, some people look at that and say, wow, I want to be like that guy. I want to be like Abraham. Look how much he's blessed by God. Hey, I want to be like Joseph. Look how much he's blessed by God. I want to be like Daniel. Now, obviously, the top guys didn't like Daniel. But a lot of people look up to Daniels and the Abrahams, and they're going to get saved, and they're going to hear the gospel. And you know what? We should want the destruction of the wicked to come, because it's not going to affect us. Now, if you're wicked, you might be afraid. All right, look at Luke 21. Look at verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Now, this is in context of what? The Great Tribulation and the end times and all those things. But notice some men's hearts are going to literally fail them. They're going to literally die of a heart attack because of fear. They're so afraid. And you know what? You can be so paralyzed by fear that you won't do anything. You know, there's going to be people, I can't go to Steadfast Baptist Church because it's a hate group. You know, I'm so afraid of what people will say. I'm so afraid of what my family will say and my friends will say. And I'm so afraid of what someone will say when I knock on their door and I say, hey, I'm from Steadfast Baptist Church. You know what most people say? I have no idea what church that is. You know, nobody even knows or cares. Go back to Matthew 24. Go to Matthew 24. Let's look at a few other verses. Look, in the end times, let me tell you something. As we approach the day of Christ and we get closer in the end times and we're further into the end times, things are going to be more chaotic than now. You say, wow, 2020. What is 2021? Well, guess what? It's just going to keep being like that. If you think it's going to get more normal, it's not going to get more normal. It's going to get more tumultuous. It's going to be more crazy. There's going to be more adversity and affliction and persecution, just in general, just for everybody. Just the world is going to wax worse and worse. I mean, we look at the days of Lot and we look at the days of Noah, because that's what the Bible says it's going to be like. Was it a real peaceful time? No, the Bible says then last days perilous times shall come. So it's going to be more dangerous, more evil, more bad things happening. So you know what we need to do? We need to overcome the spirit of fear with what? With power and love. With love. And you say, well, why would you want to go through all that? I just want to go move into the woods. I just want to go hide. Because when you read this list, it makes you want to go hide. Look at Matthew 24, look at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now when you read this, and I read this, you know what my natural thought is? Well, you know what? I'm just going to go buy a house out in the woods. I'm going to go buy a house out in the middle of nowhere and just... me and my family, we'll just be safe from all that. You know, all the war and all the pestilence and all these things. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, there's going to be famines. I might as well just go ahead and start my own farm now. Right? I mean, Bill Gates just bought all the other farmland, so I'll just be the only guy, other guy that has farmland. I'll get my own cows. And you know, for vegetables, I'll have a garden. And I'll start storing up grain. And I'll start getting bullets. And I'll build a moat around my house. And I'll put crocodiles in there. You know, people aren't expecting crocodiles, you know. And I'll booby trap everything, and I'll get satellites, and I'll get cameras, and I'll be bunkered down, and I'll be safe. Why would I want to leave that, though? Why would someone say, you know what, why would we not do that? Right? Love. Love? Love for who? Well, not love of myself, but love for the lost that are out in the world that are not in that bunker with me, and me going out and preaching the gospel and saying, why would you go through famine? Love for people. Why would you go through pestilence? Love for people. Why would you go through wars? Love for people. Why would you go through all the distress? Why would you be afflicted and killed and go to prison? And why would you have the threat of death? And why would you have your name thrown in the mud? And why would you have people constantly attacking you and shutting down your bank accounts and stealing stuff from you, and hating on you, and your family not liking you? You know why? Love. Love today. And you know what? God didn't give me the spirit of fear. He gave me a spirit of love today. He gave me the love of the lost to go out and to preach the gospel. And you say, oh, let Kenneth Copeland do that. He doesn't love anyone. Let Billy Graham do it. He doesn't love anyone. Let the Mormons do it. They don't love anyone. Only the saved have the love of God. And you know what? God didn't give us that love to just hide it, to not use it, to not go out and to preach the gospel, to go in the highways and the hedges and to preach. No, he wants us to have this love to overcome the spirit of fear today. Don't be afraid of those things. And look, whatever horrible stuff we've gone through, it is nothing in comparison to what this is talking about. Nothing, 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 absolutely nothing. If you can't go through the last few years, buckle up. Okay, well, I'm going to go hide. Well, you just don't love. Go to Luke chapter 12. Actually, before you go there, I want to go to a few more places. I don't want to just skip through the Bible. Go to Genesis 37. I'm going to give you my last point. How do you overcome the spirit of fear? Power. How do you cover the spirit of fear? Love. How do you overcome the spirit of fear? By a sound mind. By a sound mind. By getting good doctrine. When you have the good doctrine, you understand the knowledge of God. You know what? You're not going to be rattled and shaken by a bunch of foolishness and nonsense, and by not understanding, there's nothing to fear, you know? But then people, they just get freaked out about everything, okay? And notice one of those things was rumors of wars, okay? And what do I liken this unto? Conspiracies. And look, conspiracy is a real thing, okay? And I'm going to demonstrate this with the Bible. We're going to go really quick through this, okay? A lot of verses. So if you can't keep up, that's, you know, you'll have to just hear it, listen, all right? But we're going to go a lot of verses. The word conspire, conspiracy or conspired or some variation is found in your Bible 30 times. I believe in conspiracy, okay? But here's the thing. I shouldn't be afraid of any conspiracy. And I have to understand this. Conspiracies always happened. And what man of God, what servant of God changed their course of action because conspiracies existed? Because conspiracies were happening. And people will get to a weird, they're like so obsessed with conspiracy theories that they start going and they become like an Alex Jones fanatic, okay? And look, Alex Jones is a charlatan, my friend. You know what he sells? Fear. Alex Jones sells fear. What are his products? I don't know, storable food? Why? Fear. What does he sell? You know, information that'll protect you from all the woes of the economy? Fear. What every product he sells is a fear-based product. And look, I'm not saying, you should have zero food on your cupboard, you know. I'm not saying that you can't, you know, have things well-prepared or have a gun or, you know, provide for yourself. Hey, the horse is prepared against the day of battle. But you know what? Safety is of the Lord. And at the end of the day, Alex Jones, he doesn't emanate the power of God. He's not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He doesn't have the love of God. He has a huge platform. When is he preaching the gospel to anybody? He could get on there and broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ all day, every day, if he wanted to. You know what he's selling? Fear. But that's not of God. It's not what God wants me to have. And people get so obsessed with conspiracies that they destroy their spiritual life and chase after conspiracies. They'll leave good churches and just go out into the woods and just obsess about conspiracy theories. And then they'll start hearkening under the weirdest freaks. You know, people that claim to be Jesus Christ. And you're just like, whoa, why do you care about what this guy has to say? Don't get so wrapped up in this conspiracy. Let me show you in the Bible, Genesis 37, look at verse 8. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And so we see that Joseph's brethren, they hate him, and they're going to end up conspiring against him. Look what it says. I lost my verse here that I'm trying to think of. They say this dreamer cometh, and then they conspired against him. Yeah, 18. Look at 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. So notice, here's a conspiracy. And what's to conspire or what's a conspiracy? It's basically a secret agreement for a common cause. A secret agreement for a common cause. That could be good or bad, potentially. It doesn't. This case is obviously really bad. Go to 1 Samuel 22. 1 Samuel 22. Let me show you a couple other conspiracies here. The Bible often mentions them. 1 Samuel 22, look at verse number 8. That all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse. Now this is Saul, and he's afraid that everybody's conspired against him. But here's the thing. They didn't. There was no conspiracy. And so you can get to a point where you get so conspiracy crazy that you just start believing conspiracies that don't even exist. Yeah. Q. Sorry. Or whatever. They get so weirded out, they start believing that literally all of the evil people in our country are controlled by reptilian aliens. Okay? I'm not joking. Okay? They think Elvis is still alive. They think all kinds of crazy things. Well, there's some guy behind the curtain that controls everything. Well, if you're talking about Satan, then sure. But if you're talking about a dude, no. That's not going to happen until the Antichrist, okay? And notice, the conspiring that went against Joseph, his brethren, was that a good thing that Joseph walked into that trap anyways? They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, didn't he? Go to 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. There's a lot of conspiracies in the Bible, a ton. Look at 2 Samuel 15, look at verse 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Absalom conspired against his dad, David. And you know what? That's a picture of Judas conspiring against Jesus. Go to 1 Kings chapter number 15. 1 Kings chapter number 15. Now, did that conspiracy end up having some kind of benefit spiritually? Yeah, it shows us what Jesus Christ would go through. Was it good that Judas conspired against Jesus? Well, obviously the direct action's wicked, but you know what? God used it for good in the gospel. Well, there's this conspiracy, you know, that people are going to kill Christians. Which one are you talking about? When has that not been the case? 1 Kings chapter 15, look at verse 27. And Baasha, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, conspired against him. Now, you know what's a really common conspiracy? Kings overthrowing other kings. Or presidents, you know, outwitting other presidents. Maybe in the election. I don't know. You judge. Look at chapter 16. Look at verse 16. And the people that were encamped heard say, Zimri hath conspired and hath also slain the king. Look at 2 Kings chapter number 9. You know who did a lot of conspiracies and killing of the leader? The Romans through Caesars. Et tu, Brute? You know, he's like, and you, Brutus? He's saying, look, why? Because they're constantly conspiring and constantly killing. Look, there's always a plot to take power. The people that are in power. Look, did you know in Myanmar? Maybe you don't know this, but in Myanmar, the military literally took over the entire country because they said the election was a fraud. And they overthrew the entire government, and now they're military run right now. That's a literal conspiracy that literally happened. Now, a lot of people were hoping that was going to happen in America. It didn't, okay? But, oh, there's all these conspiracies. Yeah, they are. All the time. Even in the Bible, everywhere. I just turned to 2 Kings chapter number 9. Look at verse number 14. So Jehu, the son of Josaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Look at chapter 12. Look at verse number 20. And his servants arose and made a conspiracy and slew Joash and the house of Milo, which goeth down to Selah. Look at chapter 14 and verse number 19. Now they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent after him to Lachish and slew him there. Look at chapter 15, verse number 10. And Shalom, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him and smote him before the people and slew him. And raised. When is there not a conspiracy? It's like every single king is just like they conspired against him and killed him. And then they conspired against him and killed him. And then they conspired against him and killed him. And you know what's ramping up right here? Because guess what? When you conspire against your master and kill him, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to eat the fruit of what? Your own way. Hey, Biden, you want to cheat and become president? Guess what's going to happen next time? Someone's going to cheat again and someone's going to cheat. They're like, I think that people are going to cheat again in the election. Oh, shocker. Really? You think there's a conspiracy out there? 2 Kings chapter 21, look at verse 23. Chapter 21, look at verse 23. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him and slew the king in his own house. Go to Nehemiah chapter number 4. Nehemiah chapter number 4. Right before the book of Job and Esther. Nehemiah, look at chapter 4 and look at verse number 8. The Bible reads, and conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem. So this is Sanballat, this is Tobiah. There's a lot of people, they come and they conspire against God's people that are trying to build the house of the Lord, and they're conspiring against them to shut them down and to get them to stop serving God. Go to Acts chapter 23. You know, in Jeremiah chapter number 11, they were conspiring. Hey, in Ezekiel 22, they were conspiring. In Acts, they're conspiring. Look, you know when there's not a conspiracy in the Bible as far as like a timeline is concerned? Virtually never. There's always conspiracy. But let me ask you this question. How many times are the men of God concerned about it? Are they terrified about it? Are they letting it control them? Are they freaking out about it? Are they so worried? Never. How about what about even when it's conspired against them personally? It's not even just like this conspiracy theory that's out there, right? Like who killed, you know, JFK, who killed Kennedy or whatever, you know, that affects no one, okay, in this room, right? But like a specific conspiracy against you, look at Acts chapter 23 and look at verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome.
And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40, which had made this conspiracy. Notice, 40 men made a conspiracy. They said, we're not going to eat or drink. We're going to curse ourselves until we kill Paul. That's a serious conspiracy. You know what? God already told Paul, you're going to Rome. Why would Paul have to be afraid of this? He doesn't have to be afraid of it. Okay? And people, they start freaking out about conspiracy theories, and they start getting so focused on conspiracy theories, and pretty soon they're wearing a tinfoil hat, they've got a flat earth map, and they bought all of Alex Jones' merchandise. And you and I both know that's true. And look, this is, some people that are good, honest people, and they kind of get on this train because they start realizing conspiracies are true. And it's like, yeah, I could show you lots of conspiracies in the Bible, but you know, there's also conspiracies that are not true. Look what Saul. Saul was like, oh, there's all these people conspiring against me. No, they're not. You know, and people start thinking the weirdest stuff. And when I say the weirdest stuff, I mean it. Like the weirdest stuff. Okay, they're like, Donald Trump is still our president. Hillary Clinton's been arrested. Everyone's a hologram. There's aliens that are going to come and invade, and they're going to use Trump as their queen to hatch a, you know, a new alien race. And we need to collect new energy. And when you go into your closet, you collect energy by saying, hum. Don't go off on that. The earth's not flat. The moon's not made of cheese. Okay? And people get so obsessed about this stuff and so weirded out. And, you know, people are like, what about the moon landing? Well, if they can land a rover on Mars, why is it so hard to believe they could land something on the moon? Okay? But let's say it didn't happen. Who cares? Let's say it happened. Who cares? Who cares? It's so stupid and foolish to have so much fear from all the conspiracies out there. You'll scare yourself to death. You won't even be able to sleep at night. You say, well, Bill Gates said they're going to go to 100% synthetic beef. Well, I'm not. Who cares if everybody else does? That's more beef for me. Hey, it's a doctrine of devils to tell people not to, you know, eat certain meats. All right, they can eat crickets all day long. I'll still have a burger. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and keep supporting beef today and the next day. And you know what? The people that love money won't care. They'll give me some beef. Go to Luke chapter number 12. Go to Luke chapter number 12. I don't care if half of America starts eating crickets. That's just more steak for me. Well, I'm just so freaked out, Pastor Shelley. Stop. Stop being so afraid. You say, how do I overcome that? A sound mind. A sound mind. You know, the Bible says the simple believeth every word. If you believe every conspiracy theory, you're stupid. You're simple. Now, if you think that there's no conspiracy theories, you're also stupid, okay? It's somewhere in the middle. But I don't care to figure out every single one. I don't really want to know about every single one. I don't want to focus my life on conspiracy theories today. And they're just a big distraction. And I can get distracted. You can get distracted. We could all get afraid of it. But you know what? A sound mind will help you overcome that fear. Because God had conspiracy theories all through the Bible, and there's still going to be ones today, and he's still going to have his people serve him through all of it. Look at Luke chapter number 12. Look at verse number 6. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You're of more value than many sparrows. And I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. You know what you should be afraid of is being ashamed of Jesus. Not confessing Jesus openly, because then guess what? He may not confess you to the Father whenever you're in trouble. Whenever you need his grace, you need his help. Hey, we can come boldly into the throne of grace. You know what? When we're confessing Jesus Christ and when we're right with God and we got the love of God. But you know what? If you turn your ear away from hearing the law, even your prayer is an abomination unto God, is what the Bible says. And instead of being so worried about figuring out all the conspiracy theories, why don't you start worrying about being right with God? That's how you have a sound mind, is start worrying about God's commandments. Well, I'm so worried about my food and my clothing and all these things. Well, let's keep reading. Look at verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat
neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. What do you think God wants? Do you think God wants us to go around terrified of our next meal and where we're going to get our next clothing and where we're going to get everything? Or does he want us just focused on him and focus on serving in him? You know, if I sit here, I'm like, I don't know where I'm going to get my next meal. I don't know what they have in the grocery stores. You know, I don't know what they have on the shelves. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where I'm at. Or does he want me to just be like, hey, there's people that are lost today. Maybe I should just go out there and preach to them the gospel. Maybe I should just have a sound mind and say, you know what? I think God's going to take care of me. Do you think of my kids when I tell them in the morning, like, hey, why don't you go ahead and play? Or if they're like, what if Dad doesn't feed us today? What do you think? I don't know. Should we try to get our own food? I don't know. I'm just so terrified. Do you want my kids just terrified of what's for lunch, of what's for dinner, of what they're going to eat, of where they're going to go, what they're going to be clothed with? Or do I just want them to live their life? And you know what? God wants us to live our life. God wants us to serve him. God wants us to focus on the word of God and on his commandments and preaching the gospel and stop being so afraid of all the stupid, trivial stuff. Was it going to be crickets? Who cares? You know, it's just nonsense. I don't even want to eat. Who wants to eat Alex Jones' storable food anyways? I don't want to eat that. Okay. Go if you would to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter number 2. And I'm almost finished this evening, or this morning, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter number 2. Look at verse number 15. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Look, when you have the love of God deep into your heart and you realize that all the things that are in the world are not of God, has nothing to do with God, that sound mind's going to help me realize, oh, okay, I don't need to worry about that then. I need to stop worrying about all this nonsense. I need to stop being envious of the wicked and envious of the unrighteous. You know what? The fear of man bringeth a snare. I don't need to be afraid of man. I don't need to be afraid of all those things. You know, Jesus said to be faithful unto death. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. It's the last place I'm going to have you go. 1 Peter chapter number 4. How do I overcome the spirit of fear today, Pastor Shelley? Number one, by the power of God. Hey, I'm going to heaven. You going to heaven? That fear gone. Hey, don't threaten me with death. It's a good time. Overcome by the love of God. Hey, I do things for the elect's sake. Whenever I'm afraid of something, I just say, well, you know what? I'm doing it to get someone saved. I'm, you know what? I read my Bible in the morning, and I keep serving God, and I keep following his commandments, so I'll be a good vessel to be used by God. And I'm motivated to keep serving God. Because otherwise, you know what? All this stuff is a headache. I could just go, I could make so much more money if I just go out and I just work a secular job, and I spend all my hours and energy on making my own businesses or, you know, buying real estate or doing these things. I can make so much more money doing that stuff. I have way less headaches. I could have a bigger house. I could have more goods. You say, why stay in church and why serve God and why want to be a pastor and why do these things? It's for the elect's sake. It's because you got to love other people. You have the love of God. The love of God will say, you know what? Stop loving the world and start loving souls. And you know what? God will still give you a good meal here and there. God will still give you a nice place to stay. Hey, God will still take care of your temporal needs. But why don't you start putting the love of God at the forefront of your mind and stop loving the world so much? Well, I'm afraid of losing those things. You're going to lose them anyways. I don't want to lose souls. That's what I'm really, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not going to go up to heaven and be like, oh man, I lost that house. I lost that car. You know, it has 300,000 miles. It's already gone in my mind, you know. Some of these things are already gone. I'm going to lose those 10-year-old shoes I'm wearing. Oh, man. You know, I'm going to look, I already forgot about all the meals I had anyways. Some of them sucked, too. And I can overcome by a sound mind by understanding this really important fact. God's in control. And if God's in control, why don't I just accept him being in control? Look what it says in verse number 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. Here's my question. Do you believe that God is a faithful creator? You believe that God has put you on this earth and the position you're in and all the things that you have for a specific reason? If God sacrificed his son for you, he's not going to take care of you from all and all the other stuff? All the other little things? Hey, the sound mind says, you know what? He's in control. You know, my son loves to be a backseat driver. He loves to tell, Dad, it's a red light. You need to stop. Dad, it's green. Why don't you go? Dad, watch out for those cars. Dad, you're going too fast. Dad, whatever. And I'm thinking like, I got it. Stop worrying about it. I'll drive. And here's the thing. You as a Christian, God, the weather. God, the government. God, Biden's the president. Kamala Harris is the vice president. Bill Gates just bought all the farmland. God, are you paying attention? This guy's merging. The light turned red. And God's like, I'm good. I got this. You know, a sound mind says, he's driving. He's good. He got this. I mean, think about it. You have 40 guys conspiring against Paul. I mean, when you find out about that, you're going to freak out. Hey, there's 40 guys that want to kill you, and they're not going to eat or drink until they do. Oh. But God's still driving? Okay. But God's still the faithful creator? All right. I can handle it. How can I overcome the spirit of fear? We should literally fear nothing. You should fear God. That's it. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Overcome the spirit of fear. Close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you for giving us the ability to overcome fear today, and that our lives would not be paralyzed by fear, but rather we would embrace the power, love, and the sound mind that you offer us. And I pray that we would rather get a large fear of God, that we get a large fear of the Lord, that we get a fear of his commandments, that we would try to be as pleasing in your sight, and understand that at the end of the day, we're all going to heaven. Understand that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, and that we would share that love with others. We'd be motivated by love to overcome fear today, and that we'd use our sound mind and realize you're still in control. You're still on the throne. You're still God. And that we would just commit ourselves unto you keeping our souls as a faithful creator. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All right, for the final song, we're singing 396, it's a little time. Again, that's 396, so little time.
So little time, the harvest will be over, our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest, and hope he'll smile and that he'll say, well done. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today he's given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in. How many times I should have strongly pleaded, how often did I feel too strictly worn? The Spirit moved, oh, had I pled for Jesus, the grain is found, lost ones not reborn. Today we'll reap or miss our golden harvest, today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in. Despite the heat, the ceaseless toil, the hardship, the broken heart, or those we cannot win. Misunderstood, because we're off peculiar, still no regrets we'll have but for our sin. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today it's given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today. day we'll go to bring some sinner in. A day of pleasure or a feast of friendship, a house or car or garments fair or fame. We'll all be trash when souls are brought to heaven, and then how sad to face the slacker's blame. Today we reap or miss the golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in. A harvest white with reapers few is wasting, and many souls will die and never know the love of Christ, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, let us weep and love and pray and go. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in.
Amen. You're dismissed.